You don't need things. You don't need tonics. You don't need excitement and thrill. You need Christ.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
Now today we want to focus in on this passage, or this one little phrase regarding restoration. I shall not want for restoration. The Bible says, He restoreth my soul. And as I look at that very precious phrase, and it's really only a couple of words in the Hebrew Old Testament, only two Hebrew words with the right prefixes and suffixes. It's really only two Hebrew words. He restoreth my soul. There are three things in that phrase that stand out to me, and I think they bear a certain relevance to every one of us. Every one of us needs to make certain that we have entered into a shepherd-sheep relationship with the Lord, and then we can expect to capitalize on the benefits of that relationship, as they're identified here in Psalm 23. And as I look at that phrase, there are three concepts that stand out to me with respect to this issue of restoration. I shall not want for restoration. He restoreth my soul. Now, I don't know what you see in that phrase, but there are three things that I see. The first thing I see is the source of restoration. He restoreth my soul. And that's a reference to the Good Shepherd. That's a reference to the Lord. And that's the only place where I can expect to find any kind of meaningful restoration to life. He, a personal union with an individual, with God. The great intoxicating prospect of the Christian faith is that we are brought into a personal, vital union with Jesus Christ, with God Himself, and that God actually takes up residence within us. We have a personal union with a personal God, and that's the implication of that phrase, He restoreth my soul. The second thing that I see in that phrase, beyond the source of restoration, is the scope or the substance of it. And it comes from analyzing that word restoreth and thinking through the implications of it, and there are many implications that could be drawn from that. We'll look at only two. There's a twofold implication, when properly understood, that helps us to understand the scope and the substance of our restoration. And then the third thing I see here is the sphere wherein this restoration takes place. He restoreth my soul. And David means to accentuate the spiritual dimension, which is fundamental and foundational to every one of our lives. God does a powerful work spiritually in each one of us. He works on the inside and from the inside out. Now, we want to analyze these as quickly as we can. First of all, the source of restoration, He, the figure of restoration, which is employed here, suggests that the sheep are in a state of deep distress, and they need a certain significant amount of restoration. They need help. They're in a condition of deep distress, and they need help ab extra, that is, from outside of themselves. They need help from God. We'll learn in a moment as we analyze the circumstance of the sheep. And the shepherd has, David as a shepherd boy, has specifically some very significant figures and metaphors in his mind when he writes this psalm that occurred within the framework of the shepherd and the sheep out there in the Palestinian wilderness. We'll learn in a moment as we analyze that only the shepherd can rescue them. The term restoration or restoreth implies, I think, at least two things. One, it implies reinstatement to fellowship. That's inherent in the word, reinstatement to fellowship, and that's exactly what every one of us needs. We need to be reinstated to fellowship with God. And it suggests also refreshment of spirit. That's inherent in the idea, reinstatement to fellowship and refreshment of spirit. Whenever we're reinstated to fellowship with God, there is a rejuvenation, a refreshment, a joy, a meaning, a purpose that never before existed that comes to characterize our lives. And David would have us to know that this restoration finds its source in a person. David would have us to know that it is the Lord. He restoreth my soul. David would have us to know that it is the Lord, and it is the Lord alone Our Lord makes very exclusive claims. He is not one among many. He doesn't fit into the modern curriculum of comparative religions where we lift Christianity out as one among many and you can choose any option you want. No, Jesus Christ makes very exclusive requirements, very exclusive claims. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I am the door. By me, if any man enter, and he shall be saved and go in and out and find pasture. And there is no other way. He makes very exclusive claims. No other religious leader ever dared to make those kinds of claims, but Jesus Christ did, and he had the right to make them because of who he is. And so David wants us to know it is the Lord and the Lord alone, exclusively, who is capable of meeting these deep inward needs, who is capable of rejuvenating our spiritual nature. Our Lord Jesus Christ in the personality of the Holy Spirit gets right inside of our skin. He takes up residence within us, and in so doing, he satiates. That is, he satisfies and fills up our every appetite. He gives to us the desires of our heart as we learn to delight ourselves in him alone. Psalm 37 in verse 4. That's the meaning of David. The source of our restoration. Do you want to have meaningful life? You want to be reinstated to a meaningful union with God? You must come to his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you want reinstatement of fellowship with God and refreshment of your spirit? You want deep meaning and a sense of fulfillment and purpose that you never had before? Then you need him. You don't need things. You don't need tonics. You don't need excitement and thrill. You need Christ. And when you come to him, you'll see that that's true. He'll meet every one of your needs. He restoreth my soul. That's the source of our restoration. But then secondly, I want you to see the scope or the substance of it. David says he restoreth, shuv, is the Old Testament Hebrew root there, the Old Testament verb. And as I study that word, and as I study the concept in the context of the Old Testament and the Psalms, I think there's a twofold implication in that word. Let me share it with you as quickly as I can. He restoreth my soul. There are two ideas that come to my mind when I think of that. The first idea that comes is a casualty. There's a casualty here. Someone who has experienced a mishap, a calamity, perhaps even a catastrophe, and he needs a restoration. The first thing that comes to my mind is a casualty. The very term restoration implies a casualty. The second thing, as I think that concept through, is a cause. What's the cause of this casualty? And I want to amplify that for you in just a moment. I think those are the two implications, the two primary implications that grow out of that word restore. One, a casualty. Humanity in mass has undergone a terrible mishap. A catastrophic calamity has invaded the mainstream of humanity. It's called sin. And it has a way of tragically destroying, bending, warping God's purposes for humanity. All of the benevolent purposes and blessings that God had in mind for his people are squandered through this tragic invasion of sin. A catastrophic calamity has entered the mainstream of the experience of humanity. We need a restoration. There is a casualty. David kind of makes reference to this concept in Psalm 42 and verse 11. I'll read it to you. It says, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul?" And I want you to get a connection here. Those two ideas go together. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Psalm 42, 11. And he restoreth my soul. Psalm 23, verse 3. It's precisely this figure that David has in mind when he says he restoreth my soul. The figure of being cast down has an exact parallel. I want you to follow with me now and think this through. The figure of being cast down. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And he restoreth my soul. Psalm 23 and verse 3. It's precisely that figure that David has in mind in that expression. The figure being cast down as an exact parallel in the shepherd's care of his flock of sheep. Every shepherd, and I don't pretend to be a shepherd in the literal sense of the term, in a metaphorical sense as the pastor of a church, yes, but in the literal sense of the care of a flock of sheep, I have no experience, and I'm reliant upon those that I read and study in this area. They all seem to agree. Every shepherd knows what a cast sheep is. You ever heard of a cast sheep? A cast sheep is a sheep that has somehow rolled over on its back, lost its sense of equilibrium, and is forced to remain there with its feet and legs extended, being quite incapable of righting itself. It's rolled over on its back and cannot get up, cannot right itself. That's a very delicate position, and it's a very dangerous position to be in. That is the figure that David has in mind in Psalm 42:11 when he says, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul?" It is as though he were spiritually cast. He'd lost his spiritual equilibrium, and his spiritual potential was being rendered non-effective. That can happen to any one of us who are the sheep of the fold of our Lord Jesus Christ. We can become spiritually cast sheep. "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And he restoreth my soul." And whenever a sheep finds itself in that condition, it's a delicate and a dangerous condition in which to be. He's rolled over on his back, his feet are extended, he cannot get up, he has lost his equilibrium. He cannot help himself. Whenever he finds himself in that condition, he is subjected to obvious dangers for two reasons. I'm going to give you a little animal physiology here, all right, for just a moment. He's subjected to obvious dangers for two reasons. Number one is he lies there, and that's somewhat delicate and we might say embarrassing position. As he lies there, gases begin to build up in what's called the rumen. The rumen is that first little stomach where the cut is deposited. You know what I mean? Every once in a while, he coughs it up and chews on his cut again. As he lies there in this delicate position, we're told by the experts of animal physiology that gases begin to build up in that rumen. As they expand, they tend to retard and cut off blood circulation to the extremities of the body, especially the legs. If the weather in the Palestinian wilderness is hot and dry, that sheep can expect to live only a few hours in that circumstance. He's in an extremely, extremely dangerous circumstance, perilous circumstance. If the weather is cool and rainy, it may take several days before he dies. That's one reason why it's a very dangerous circumstance. He's vulnerable. And then there's another reason, and that is it is not only the shepherd who keeps a sharp eye for cast sheep. The Palestinian shepherd always had his eye open for cast sheep. He knew it could happen. But it's not only the shepherd that keeps a sharp eye for cast sheep, but also the predators. And there were many in the Palestinian wilderness. In the Orient, lions and bears and wolves would be about and on the prowl. And all of them were anxious to wet their fangs with the blood of a cast sheep. That was easy picking. That is the pageantry that David had in his mind when he said, "Why art thou cast down?" That's the pageantry that he had in his mind. "Why art thou cast down, O my soul?" And when he said, "He restoreth my soul." So we begin with this thought. We have a casualty. We have a sheep in a delicate, dangerous, and perilous circumstance. And what he needs is restoration, and only the shepherd can provide it.
Thank you for listening to today's edition of Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you'd like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam, 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam, 96921. Or call area code 671-477-6341, extension 360. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 360. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, send email to khmg@hbcguam.net. Thank you for listening today, and be sure to tune in for the next edition of Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.